Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
The battle for ABN continues.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. When is a deal not a deal? When stockholders threaten legal action. A tug of war has developed over the purchase of Dutch bank ABN AMRO, even though it had looked as if British bank Barclays had sealed the deal. London correspondent Stephen Beard explains.
ABN agreed a merger with Barclays, but a rival consortium made a higher bid. One of its key interests is getting hold of ABN's American division, the LaSalle Bank. Now, to fend off the consortium's bid, the ABN board agreed to sell LaSalle Bank to Bank of America in a side deal. Now, ABN shareholders have had their say at their annual general meeting yesterday in the Netherlands, and there was a revolt, pandemonium, chaotic scenes. One shareholder had to be led away by a security guard. Effectively, the shareholders have passed a resolution calling on the ABN board to sell the company to the highest bidder. Effectively, they're saying, we're much more interested in the consortium's bid, so forget about this cozy deal with Barclays.
London correspondent Stephen Beard. The clock is ticking because a sale of LaSalle Bank to Bank of America becomes irreversible in 9 days. A group of ABN shareholders is challenging that deal in court. First it was Apple, now Microsoft is reporting blockbuster earnings. The company says its third quarter profit shot up 65%. Part of that was higher revenue from discounted upgrades to its Vista operating system. And looking forward, Microsoft says sales could exceed estimates for the next fiscal year. The company's shares rose 5% in late trading. Asian markets were on the weak side today. In Tokyo, the Nikkei slipped 28 points. European markets are also down so far this morning. But it was a different situation on Wall Street yesterday as the Dow had its second record close in a row. The Dow added 15 points, closing at 13,105. The Nasdaq moved forward 6 points, so we'll open this morning at 2554. But the S&P gave up a point to 1494. Oil prices are rising. Right now, light crude is at $65.20 a barrel. The federal government has completed its first survey of the number of private contractors on the payroll of the intelligence industry. Of course, the exact numbers are, well, classified. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has the details, not considered state secrets.
The survey by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence found that about 40% of private contractors were hired to collect or analyze information. Those jobs used to be handled exclusively by intelligence agency employees, and those private contractors get paid a premium.
You look at the pay increase from contractors versus government employees, and you're looking at around a 15 to 20% increase for someone doing the same exact job.
That's Evan Lesser with ClearanceJobs.com, a resource site for jobs in the defense and intelligence industries. Though they're paid more, Lesser says the private contractors have less job security.
You're getting folks that have a little bit more accountability. The contracts will run out or not be renewed, depending on performance.
Government officials justify the use of higher-paid contractors by saying it allows them to grow or shrink the intelligence workforce quickly. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Ever heard of Juiced? Well, you probably will soon. It wants to be an online TV network, taking on sites like YouTube. Juiced already has a deal lined up with Viacom and CBS to provide programming. Now it's grabbed some big advertisers. Yesterday it said 31 companies have signed on to provide ads. They include Coke, HP, Intel, Nike, Sony. The list goes on.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
You might want to take a moment to stretch out underneath a shady tree this afternoon. Today is Arbor Day. Here in Los Angeles, about a million trees will be planted over the next few years. It's part of the city's plan to clean the air and increase the shade. But officials made one teeny stipulation that's causing a big stir. They said that, for the most part, palm trees shouldn't be part of that million. Stacey Vanek-Smith explains.
Palm trees have been a symbol of L.A. ever since developers brought them in the late 1800s.
What it connotes is that Los Angeles is an oasis.
Longtime Angeleno Virginia Postrel is the author of The Substance of Style.
It's very symbolic of Los Angeles in the same way that the Empire State Building or the Brooklyn Bridge symbolizes New York.
Most of L.A.'s palms are Mexican fan palms, tall, spindly trees that tower over the skyline. They may be statuesque, but they don't provide much in the way of shade or air filtration. They're also pricey. George Gonzalez heads up urban forestry for Los Angeles.
They're a little bit more expensive to plant. They do require a higher level of maintenance. The fronds tend to fall pretty readily.
The city spends about $500,000 a year cleaning up those fallen fronds and trimming the palms. The thing is, many of the city's palms are sick, and the new rules make replacing them complicated. That means some of LA's iconic avenues could end up being lined with sycamores or oaks instead of palm trees.
Slowly, it will look different in areas like some of the areas in Beverly Hills.
Gonzalez says the city does plan to plant new palms in select areas, but some argue the city should spend what it needs to keep its most famous residents where they are. Timothy Phillips heads the LA County Arboretum.
A good street tree program incorporates as many suitable species as possible. There are places that palms would be suitable, and I think not to replace them in some of these heavy visited areas. To me, that's just not right.
Phillips says palms mix well with other trees. They soak up lots of stormwater, and their roots generally don't disturb sidewalks. He points out one vista in the Arboretum, where 100-foot palms bob hypnotically above a lush canopy.
But this is my favorite view in the Arboretum. The various levels of trees. You have the citrus, then the oaks, and then the ginkgos, and palms just towering above them.
Phillips says the palm is part of LA's history and offers benefits that can't be quantified.
And you can hear that noise. When palm fronds flutter in the wind, it's so nice.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And from palm-lined Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.